Broadcasting from the Prime Meridian Bank Studios in the capital city of Tallahassee, this is Front Row Knowles with Tom Block and Keith Jones. Front Row Knowles is brought to you by Hobson Chevrolet of Cairo, Georgia. Get your best deal the Hobson way.
Good day, everybody. Tom and KJ with you. This is Front Row Knowles. Keith, how are you, sir?
I have not gotten worse, Tommy, so I consider that a positive.
So you're still your usual mediocre self? Is that what I hear you saying?
Well, that's another conversation that I didn't think we were going to get into. I was talking about attitude towards Florida State football, and I remain disappointed. I have not moved to angry, fire everybody, bench everybody, or never go to a game again.
Well, that's good. That's good. I'm in better spirits than last you and I talked, which was at the midnight hour approximately on Saturday after what happened in Winston-Salem. Yeah, I'm more where you are on it, and we'll have Patrick Burnham, our Osceola insider, join us next segment, which is not to say I don't want to see improved results. I think everybody does. That's kind of the conundrum of where we are, though. We know, I mean, we've known going in, if you think about it, Keith, we knew this wasn't a great football team. We knew the offensive line was a liability, especially if they got people hurt. We knew the receiving core wasn't great. I think we felt like the quarterback play would be a little bit better than where it is right now. Defensively, I think we felt like the defense would be better, and the passing stats don't say that it is. I do feel like they're a little more sound and that I don't see guys running free the way we've seen in previous years, 3-4 years going back even. But all that said, when the record's 0-3, it's hard to make that make sense in your mind.
Still like the effort. I still like what I'm hearing. Now, granted, you can't take much from interviews, but based on the conversations that apparently are taking place, and I'm still convinced, and our listeners, you know, have heard this over and over again. I think 51% or more of the problems are from the neck up. It's not coaching. It's not schemes. And that can be corrected quickly. I mean, we saw how well they played against Notre Dame. They can play that well again. They just have to make up their minds to do that. And finding a way to make that happen becomes the, you know, the proverbial $64,000 question.
Well, hindsight is always 20/20. And when your record is what it is, we get into the second guessing game, right? That's what everybody's doing. But to the general question, well, if that guy can't catch, why do you put him in there? Or if he can't cover, why do you have him in there? And when the answer is that he does it during the week, but he doesn't do it on game day, well, it takes you game day to figure that out. I mean, if the guy is getting busted and beat all week long, then he's not your guy. Unfortunately, it's showing up more on game day. And that I think, is the essential question that we can address later on in the show in terms of how do you figure that out? Now you've got three games. You kind of know what guys look like on game day, and you can make some changes. Anyway, we're going to let Pat Burnham answer all the tough questions next segment. Does that sound good?
That is my plan going in, yes.
Excellent. I like the fact that you're a team player, right? He's Keith. I'm Tom. Patrick Burnham from the Osceola joins us next. We're just getting cranked up here on Front Row Knowles.
Some battles are worth fighting. They build character and teach important lessons. Other times, the more we resist, the longer we stay stuck. When a simple change would change everything. Is your bank holding you back? Try my bank, Prime Meridian Bank. Changing is easy. We'll show you how. Prime Meridian Bank. Tallahassee, Crawfordville, and on the web at trymybank.com. Member FDIC.
Fall into savings at Hobson Chevrolet Buick in Cairo, Georgia. Football season's finally here, the weather's great, and the deals are great. You gotta come check out our great selection of pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. Interest rates have never been lower, and you'll never get more for your trade than right now. So with the best financing available, you can't lose. And don't forget to come see us for all your service and parts needs. Come see us or check us out at HobsonChevrolet.com. Buy your Chevrolet the Hobson way.
Front Row Knowles is presented by Hobson Chevrolet of Cairo, Georgia. Get your best deal the Hobson way. Now back to Tom and Keith.
Welcome back to Front Row Knowles. We crank open that Earl Bacon Agency hotline, the Earl Bacon Agency, ensuring your future together. And we say hello to our good friend from the Osceola, Patrick Burnham. Hey, Pat, how are you?
Hey, guys, doing great. How about y'all?
All things considered, to use KJ's term, upright and taking nourishment. Is that correct, Keith? Did I get that correct?
That's correct. The sun came up this morning, and I am upright and taking nourishment.
Well, what doesn't kill you will make you stronger. At least that's what they say.
Pat, I thought it was interesting in your Takeaway Tuesday column on the Osceola, and it's 100% right. I mentioned this a little bit to Keith. We can look back and we can play the what-if game about this play or that play, but the other team can do the same thing. And if Wake chooses the 10 plays where it had busted assignments, they could look at it and say they could have won by more. So is it Herm Edwards who says your record is what it says it is? You know, we're sitting here at 0-3.
I definitely think that you can look at the game two ways. It could have been a lot worse than what it was as a loss, or it could have been FSU could have played a lot better. Both those things are true, right? So at the end of the day, they even each other out, and it simply is what it is. Wake Forest played a far better football game than Florida State did. They are a far more experienced football team than Florida State is. And all those things showed. It's a program that has had time to develop a culture under Dave Clawson. That showed itself. Mike Norvell is still trying to establish his culture at Florida State 12 games into his tenure. And all those things were extremely obvious on Saturday afternoon.
It's also a true statement that Florida State's 0-3, which none of us thought that we'd be saying right now, but that's where we sit. To the point about maybe it's youth, Pat, so perhaps I'm answering the question, but mistakes, penalties, missed assignments, drop passes, missed tackles. A lot of this has been going on for a while, predating Mike Norvell, and it feels like Groundhog Day, which I think is part of the frustration for fans when you see that. Is youth an explanation for something that multiple coaching staffs have had to deal with?
Well, listen, you're gonna become a better football player the more reps you get. You're not gonna make this. You hope not to make the same mistakes week in and week out. The more experience you get, but this is a different group of young football players than Willie Taggart had in his 2 years. There's been almost a complete turnover of the roster, or a majority of it has been turned over since Mike Norvell got here. So certainly, there is some argument to be made that some of this is because you're playing 30. I think it's the numbers in the 30s out of close to 30 out of the 53 guys that they listed on the two deep roster 2 weeks ago. An unbelievable percentage are redshirt sophomores or below. So you're going to have some growing pains with some of the younger guys. And then you've had some experienced guys who made some mistakes that you would not like to see them make. So some of it is youth. Some of it's just bad football.
Matt, after having been able to digest a couple of days, 3 days worth of this stuff, the one thing I keep coming back to, and it's not new, but it's the offensive line and losing some key people. And I just can't help but think that the frustration or the lack of confidence in the offensive line is affecting everybody and every call. It's affecting the coaches. It's affecting the players. It's even affecting, I think, the defense and how they approach things. Can you put that much on one segment, or is that unfair?
Well, listen, you've got two segments that are one on each side of the ball that are performing certainly not up to what's needed to win an ACC football game, and that's the offensive line and the defensive backfield, or the back seven and pass defense. Both, listen, we knew there were some shortcomings on the offensive line coming out of spring. If you watched them, you knew even with their best five that they had trouble protecting the passer. We wondered if that would be validated during the season, and it has. Whether they got their best five in or not, and there is a significant drop-off once you start losing your frontline guys on the offensive line. And we saw that against Notre Dame, against Wake Forest this past weekend. They had success running the ball, but not as much success as they did against Notre Dame or Jacksonville State. And some of that had to do with who was playing. You were without Robert Scott. You were out Murray Smith. And not saying that anything personal against the guys, but when you start going further down that depth chart on the offensive line, you've got a lot of young guys or guys that are just not near as good as the people that are in front of them. And I know that Jerry asked Mike about the offensive line after the game, and he had a chance to turn it into an excuse And it was not. He did not use it as an opportunity to make an excuse. I think they are aware of the reality that they've got to get much better on the offensive line. And I think in retrospect, if you went back and look at all the guys that they brought in from the transfer portal, they might have done themselves more justice by taking a chance on a couple more offensive linemen with experience. You know, I don't know the details behind only bringing in one, Dylan Gibbons. We know that they wanted the kid that ultimately went to Notre Dame, but certainly in retrospect, and it's the great thing about being on this side of the business, is you got 50-50 vision, right? Anyway, listen, it is a problem. We thought it might be a problem coming into the season, and it certainly has been.
To your point, it's easy to say now they should have brought in more offensive linemen. If Maurice Smith's not hurt, if Robert Scott's not hurt, maybe we're not sitting at 0-3 right now. It sounds like those guys may be available this week. Maybe. We'll see. Yeah. What have you seen from the other guys? I mean, is Devontae Love Taylor not the same guy as a year ago? How has Darius Washington looked to you?
I watch them as a group, and obviously they've been successful running the ball. They do struggle to pass block. You know, as far as looking at them individually, that's not really how I view the game when I watch it. You're trying to watch everything develop, and you know, when there's one of you watching a game, it's different than when you watch it with four or five people and they can focus on a position. But to your point with Robert Scott and the rest of the guys that have Murray Smith, you're better off when those guys are in there. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But as far as breaking them down individually, I've not had a chance to do that. But, they've been moving around a lot, and that affects continuity on the offensive line.
I guess we're in for a two-headed quarterback, guys.
Yeah, listen, there's good and bad in that. We thought maybe coming into the game that part of the season that having two quarterbacks was a strength. I'm not a tremendous fan of rotating series to find out who's got the hot hand. You've got an offense that's struggling to find rhythm and consistency anyway. Kenny Dillingham admitted that the offense changes when you go from one to the other. I think having those kids have a lot of pressure on them already, pressure from opposing defenses, pressure from just the fact of being a starting quarterback at Florida State. And now they're going to feel the added pressure. If they know that if they're not clicking individually and the offense is not clicking collectively, they're coming out of the game. I think you got to give this offense a chance to find some continuity, playing one a vast majority of the time over the other. And I think I was wrong about it being a strength coming into the season. And I talked to somebody during the game on Saturday that I have a huge amount of respect for, and he pays attention to a lot of things, including body language. And he was not particularly impressed with the body language he saw from either quarterback.
To that end, which is the guy if you're going to go with primarily one?
Well, yeah, listen, I think that's the crux of the problem. You're a better run offense, right? Well, who's the biggest threat running? Jordan. The problem you got with Jordan is he gets banged up a lot. He has a physical style of football on a slight frame. We've seen it time and time again. He gets dinged up and has to go out of the game. Then you got McKenzie, who's coming back from a hideous, hideous injury and lucky to walk, let alone play football. And you don't know how his leg is going to react day to day or week to week from the rigors of a major college football season. I mean, that's a lot of stress on that kid's leg. And none of us know exactly how healthy he is, right, compared to what he was. We just know that he's probably not the same. So I don't see how you get around not playing two quarterbacks given the situation that they've inherited. I'm not sure I like the application.
There's been a lot of talk about this week's narrative has been they need to find an identity on offense. And this is simplistic terms, but it feels like the call is to simplify the offense, go with one guy. And what you do well is you run the football, so just line up and run it. But if you look at where some of their running success has come from, it's come from basically tricking the defense at times too. I mean, if they really were going to say, we're going to run the football, can they line up and run the football regardless of which quarterback's in there?
Well, listen, we saw it against Notre Dame and Jacksonville State, too. The running backs carried the majority of the load running the ball. So, yes, they were running a traditional run offense. It was not Jordan Travis heavy as it was the year before. You can go back and look at the percentages are way different as far as quarterbacks accounting for the rush yardage this year compared to last year. So, yes, listen, you got to be happy to get 3 or 4 yards at a time. And, you know, you've got a complementary set of running backs that have different skill sets. You've got Jordan Travis. You can do some things with him, speed option, some of the things that you would not do with McKenzie. But certainly I think we've seen them, at least against Notre Dame and Jacksonville State, prove that they can line up, hand it to the running back in some form or fashion, and get the job done running the football.
But see, I go back to the age-old thing. I'm the old guy. You know, if you're playing from behind, if you're down 7, you're down 14, you know, Kenny can talk all about trying to stick to the game plan, but it affects the play calls. It affects the checkdowns. I mean, a couple of those throws that Milton made, you know, are not throws that he would make if Florida State was up by 14. He was pressing. He was trying to make something happen. And, you know, the combination of everything, particularly playing from behind, I mean, it's just a recipe for some bad football, unfortunately.
Yeah, and listen, you know, 21 to 14, when the score 21-7, I don't think you take chances. It's early in the game. You got to be a little bit smarter with the football. You're, you know, 14-point lead in today's game is not a huge deficit anymore. I mean, offenses score quick. You know, we've seen FSU has the ability to strike big. They did it against Jacksonville State. They did it again. We even saw the long pass against Wake Forest and Notre Dame. So you can run the ball consistently and hopefully open up some opportunities for big plays in the fast game. But yeah, I think once you're down 35 to 14, yeah, your quarterback's going to take some chances and you can't blame them. But at 21-7, a little early to hit the panic button and change what you're doing.
Yeah, I guess my question, going back to the run, Pat, they did have success against Notre Dame. Notre Dame went to a 3-man front when they had a lot of that success in the second half. And Jacksonville State was Jacksonville State. But when you look at the short yardage situation, I think Kurt might have had it in the Democrat, Kurt Weiler, that Florida State's 1 for 8 in third or fourth and 2 or less over the last 2 weeks. So that's the downs when, if you are a running football team, you can line up and run the football and get 2 yards. And I guess that's why the question is in my head. Can they? I mean, I don't think they're running McKenzie on 4th and 2 because they want to run McKenzie. I think they're thinking they've got to trick the defense a little bit, because if they hand it off, they're not going to get the 2 yards. And maybe that's because of who they had out there at the offensive line last week. And maybe that changes if they get the starters back.
Yeah, it definitely could. And listen, if Jordan, you know, everybody's made a big deal about the Wildcat. And, you know, to me, the only thing I might do is you've already got a Wildcat in Jordan Travis if he's healthy, right? So he actually offers you more options with having him paired with Jayshon Corbin or Trayshon Ward in the backfield than putting one of those kids in the Wildcat who's not going to be able to throw the ball. So, of course, the defense has a scheme against two different things if Jordan Travis is at quarterback as opposed to putting a Wildcat in. So he is your most elusive ball carrier. There's no doubt about that. So in those situations, when he's healthy, I'd rather see Jordan with the ball in his hands, because he can make people miss and does offer you the affordability to throw the ball out of those formations.
So I guess we spent all the time talking about the offense. We're just giving the defense a pass, right?
Well, it's something funny that you mentioned passing and defense.
It was intentional. It was accidental, but it was intentional.
Yeah, well, listen, obviously the defense has got some shortcomings. And, you know, listen, we thought coming into this year that the secondary was going to be much better. I think discipline-wise and tighter coverage-wise, to some extent they are, but when you're 116th in the nation in pass defense and 94th in opposing quarterback completion percentage, I don't know if it matters how good they are up front. Pressuring the passer is better this year than it was last year. That doesn't seem to help. You know, this week they really need to shut down Louisville's. I know it sounds crazy, and I'm going to let you talk about it, Keith. I know it sounds crazy to say, but what you want to do is force Louisville to throw the football, because what Scott Satterfield wants to do is run that zone stretch, be successful on that, and run everything off that base play, including his passing offense. And if they're successful running the ball, they're going to be successful passing the ball. But, what would you do, Keith? Less man coverage, more zone? I mean, how do they fix it?
I would definitely go more zone, But this is a defensive unit that through two years has not played zone very well. And I don't know what the right poison is. I do know this. You talk about mesh points and extended mesh points when you're talking about Wake Forest. This will be as good a dual quarterback threat as Florida State will probably face all year long. So, I don't know. Going to be very interesting.
They're going to have to try to pound this kid when he carries the ball. He's second on the team in rush attempts, second on the team in rushing yardage, and they're going to have an opportunity. They need to play a very physical style of football when Malik Cunningham is running it. But you're right. And he is an improved passer, certainly more so than what we saw 2 years ago when he looked petrified to throw the football against us in Doak Campbell Stadium.
Right.
He's well beyond that, but he does – have the tendency to throw interceptions. He's thrown 14 in his last 14 ball games. So stop the run, pressure him, and get better. Whatever you have to do to get better in the secondary, you got to get better in the secondary.
Pat, we had you on because I thought you'd make me feel better, but at this very moment, I'm not sure I feel better about this week. But hey, it was good to catch up.
These are two very winnable football games.
Now I feel better. Thank you. Right. Patrick Burnham from the Osceola. We'll take a break and come back with more Front Row Noles right after this.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Your local independent auto owner's agent is the Earl Bacon Agency. Call us at 878-2121 or visit us on the web at earlbacon.com.
Some battles are worth fighting. They build character and teach important lessons. Other times, the more we resist, the longer we stay stuck. When a simple change would change everything. Is your bank holding you back? Try my bank, Prime Meridian Bank. Changing is easy. We'll show you how. Prime Meridian Bank. Tallahassee, Crawfordville, and on the web at trymybank.com. Member FDIC.